So what's up, dads? I know you might feel like, man, I'm not the homeschooling person. It's my wife. You know, she's the one that does the teaching and things like that. But I found using BJU Press homeschool curriculum, man, it really helped me out with my son, Sam Witt. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun. We go through these videos. Shout out to Mrs. Walker.
Mrs. Walker.
Shout out to Mrs. Walker. And, you know, it gives me the confidence to know that I can do it as well, that I can sit down with my son and we can go through these lessons and I can help him to see, you know, and understand what's going on. And so, man, it's a good way for us to connect as well. And it's not always our wives that have to do it. So I just want to give you that encouragement that you can do it too.
Check out BJUPressHomeschool.com today. BJUPressHomeschool.com, the premier sponsor of the Culture Proof podcast. Thanks for listening to Culture Proof. I'm Miki, and we are still recording live from the Texas Homeschool Coalition Convention in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and we feel incredibly blessed and privileged to have gotten an opportunity to catch up with Todd Wilson, because last year we were kind of promised two opportunities to sit with you and to have a conversation, and you stood us up, Todd. Like, you just, you know, you were going to be there, and then, you know, then you weren't.
It's hard to nail me down.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, you just know, the demands for yeah. me are a lot. So.
Yeah, I was confused because I felt like we had gotten with your people, and, you know, there were three people that we had to go through to get to the one who could get to you, and then once
well,
that person...
Well, my mom is hard. I mean, she is hard. She will not let everybody talk to me.
Todd, would you please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? I know that you are a homeschooling dad and you are passionate about that, but also strengthening men and strengthening the family. And seriously, Will the Great and I got an opportunity to hear you last year, and it was the first time that we were introduced to you and your ministry. And my goodness, what a gift the Lord has entrusted to you to be able to disarm people with the truth, the reality of their life, right? And then also bring in the sobriety of the Lord being present, you know?
You're already my favorite person.
Like, let me
okay, this is good. My wife doesn't say this nice things about me.
Oh, so no. Awesome. She text messaged me that. That's I nailed
that
it.
No, that wasn't it. You know, people ask my kids all the time, oh, is your dad this funny all the time? I'm like, no, he's not.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a different role, right?
That's
like,
right.
You, I mean...
Right.
Don't write on the walls.
Exactly. So you know, we've been doing this for about 20 plus years. My wife and I have 8 children. We've got 9 grandchildren now.
Wow.
It's shocking. It's shocking, you know. And what drives me is I just want to see dads get it right. Mm. You know, I want to see moms get it right. You know, as we homeschool, even for moms who are surrounded by their kids all day long, I don't want them to miss their kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, and for dads, there's so much pressure to be something. And I would just remind them that they are something, you know, because I know this is what matters. I mean, our relationship with God, of course, that's always true. But, you know, all the stuff that we gather and we collect and the prizes that we get, mm-hmm. those just don't even matter at all. Old people know it. You know, old people come up to me at McDonald's all the time and they say, you know, you got a bunch of good-looking kids. And then they always say, they sometimes put their hand on my shoulder and say, enjoy them while they're young.
Yes.
And, you know, and I feel yeah. like these are dads and moms with lots of regrets, you know. And they look at the chaos that your family has and my family has.
Right.
And they wish they could do it again. So I just want to, you know, I want to get it right. Mm-hmm. And I want them to get it right. And I want... But even more importantly, I want to get it right.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
want to just tell dads and moms to spend their time doing the things that matter. I want to do that. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of pressure. You know, even when we're in an event like this, mm-hmm. you know, speakers are looking at other speakers and, you know, people are
don't
looking.
Don't tell the secrets.
People are looking across the table and like, yeah. wow, they've got a lot of people over there.
Yeah.
You know, I
yeah.
don't have very many people in my booth. You know, oh, they know them.
Or they decorated their booth and then exactly. and then we're like, oh, and we just showed up to do our recording. Yeah,
exactly.
There's all of that.
But what matters to me, really, those things don't matter at all.
No, that's
what
right.
matters is, so as we're recording this, is a Saturday.
Yeah.
At home, my family's still back home. My phone is starting to ring because all the Wilsons are gathering at McDonald's today at lunch. We do every Saturday.
Really?
And my grown kids, they all live close together. So they all, and I hate missing them. And my wife will say, "Who cares, Todd? It's just a lunch at McDonald's. You can do it every Saturday." And I'm like, "I only got a certain amount of Saturdays left, you know, and I want to take advantage of them." And I feel that I feel the clock ticking. I am like cursed with this great sense of the passage of time.
Mm.
And I know our kids used to be little kids just yesterday.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
used to travel to these things. We have eight kids, and we all came together. We'd stay in an RV. And I have two who are with me now, and they're complaining.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
they're like, "Do we have to go again?"
It's so. Like he becomes the leeks and the onions.
Yeah, exactly.
But you said so much in that, Todd, and I want to kind of back up to what you began with and just kind of juxtapose the mom and the dad. Because you started with talking about moms, especially moms who are discipling and educating their kids at home.
Right.
And you said, "I don't want them to miss their kids." So that's something that I want to unpack. But then you also said, "You don't want dads to be so concerned with being something when they already are
right.
something."
Right.
And so I feel like those two things are in a capsule, right? And
I think you're right.
I want to pop them both open.
Okay.
And I want to talk about that. So what is the possibility inherent in being a homeschooling mom and discipling your kids at home, but missing them? Because you would think that that's automatic.
You would think it was automatic,
yeah.
but it's not. You know, in fact, I think a lot about the Mary and Martha story with when Jesus comes over. You know, Martha's doing all this stuff, and even the Bible's pretty clear. And at one point, she looks over at her sister and she says, you know, who's just sitting there doing nothing. And she says to Jesus, you know, aren't you going to do something about this?
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing everything,
mm-hmm.
which sounds like a mom, you know.
yeah.
I'm doing everything. And, you know, she's just doing nothing. And Jesus is just, you know, I think Martha was kind of thinking like a kid, like a parent, where they come to their parent and they go, you know, "My brother's not doing anything." And you go, "Well, get in there and help him."
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And Jesus just says, you know, "Martha, what Mary has chosen, Mary has chosen the better thing."
Yes.
You know, and I remember there used to be a song in the 70s, like, where it was like, "One thing is needful, my Father. One thing is needful, my Lord, that I sit at your feet and pour out my love." And I would hear people talk about what Jesus wants us to do is sit at his feet and pour out our love. And I'm like, I don't even know where his feet are.
Like, what does that look like?
Do I shut my eyes and imagine him sitting there and I'm
yeah.
pour? How do I pour it out?
Yeah.
You know, is it song? And I think what he was saying is, you know, Martha, Mary's chosen relationship.
Mm.
And then he says, it will not be taken away from
yeah.
her. And I think implying that, Martha, all that stuff you've chosen will be taken away from you. All that stuff, you know, the busyness, because there's always lots to do. And he said, you were distracted by many things.
Yeah.
But only one thing's needful. And I think he was saying, just my thoughts, you know, all these things that you think, those are the things that don't matter. The relationship is the one thing that matters. And I think it's so sad to think that Martha had Jesus in her house and she missed him. And for me, I think, you know, for these moms who home educate their children, or just moms who have their children at home, you could be so busy
mm-hmm.
doing that stuff that you could miss them.
Yeah.
Because I've met moms. I can remember meeting a mom in Florida, just kind of on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she wasn't at a conference, and we were just talking. She said, "Oh, I used to homeschool my daughter." And she said, until she was 13. And I said, "Oh," I was about ready to say, "Why did you stop?"
Yeah.
And she said, and then she died of a brain tumor.
Oh.
And then for the next little while, she cried and she talked about her daughter. She didn't talk about all the stuff they accomplished. She just talked about what she missed.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the stuff we're going to miss.
Yeah.
That's the
good
stuff
part.
That we're going to get old And we're not going to, you're not going to talk about your radio show.
No.
You're going to talk about those kids.
Yeah.
That call you mom.
Yeah.
You know?
And the sound of their voices at the different stages in their development, and how we've got one that's got a rasp that right. we think, where did it come from? It's going to be there forever. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And those are the things
yeah.
that I just want to take advantage of now, because I know, again, the passage of time goes so quickly. I just don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't want to miss it.
The North Carolina Home Educators Thrive Conference happens May 22nd through the 25th mm-hmm. in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We're going to be there, and we hope to see you.
Yeah, that's a new one. I've never been to Winston-Salem. How do you say it?
Not Winston.
Oh, it's not Winston?
It's Winston.
Winston.
Yes.
Okay,
He's
Winston.
He's mad that you didn't get his name right. Sorry, Winston.
Winston, I'm sorry, man. Winston-Salem. I've never been there, so it's going to be great. Going to be a good time, and we're looking forward to being there.
Yeah, you can learn more about the Thrive Conference by going to our website at cultureproof.net, cultureproof.net. Click on engage, and you can find all of the events that we're going to be participating in this travel season. And they're hyperlinked. Yay. Who doesn't like a good hyperlink? Just click on those links. It'll take you right to those websites where you can get registered. And hopefully we'll get to see you there. We'll be podcasting on location.
Come
our family
our
will be with us. We would love to shake your hand.
Dads, I think, you know, my husband and I talk an awful lot, and there was something that the Lord opened his eyes to. And that was how necessary he is to our family, and being home during COVID, right? And seeing all that a day that is still going looks like. Because, of course, he's home, but when he's home, we're not really doing the day, right? Like it, the day is kind of come to an end or it's a weekend. And then he was home and he said, y'all need me. Right? And and I'm like, yes, we do. And desperately so. And there was a revelation that, you know, this idea of the male search for significance outside of the home has been celebrated. It's been encouraged, right? Even among believing Christians,
right?
It's been encouraged. Your significance is outside of your home. How can dads recalibrate what is significant and how they feel fulfilled as men?
That's a really hard thing because really it is an act of the will.
Okay.
I mean, because you really have to, you have to remind yourself and have other people around remind you, and the Bible reminds you of what matters and what doesn't again.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right. I think the world and the church, you know, applauds success.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's in monetary or toys or a title, you know, and I just, but again, when you get old, it becomes clearer.
Yeah.
You know, and I would hear, and then this was a constant, a thing that I would hear oftentimes. I love biographies. I would watch in the old days on television, PBS, and they would have biographies, and they always pick super successful people, whether they were ministry or a musician or a sports person. And I mean, almost without exception, they would always say at the end, in the last 10 minutes, they would say things like, you know, I really wasn't a very good dad. And I wish I would have done a little more of that. And I'm thinking, we hear that over and over again. How many times do we have to hear that before we change that?
Yeah.
And so I know guys who have said, you know, I know the pressures at this level. I've been asked to go to the next level, and they don't take it. I know dads who have been asked that they're going to travel, and it sounds alluring, you know, because, you know, it's not easy at home. It's not rewarding always because, you know, you give your kids your best, and they go, is that all you got?
Is that it?
Yeah, you come back from the Disney World, and they go, and you've spent a fortune, and they go, what are we doing tomorrow? And I'm like, what are we doing tomorrow?
Yeah.
And they'll say things like, you don't love me. And like, we don't love you, but when you are working, you know, everything you do good, someone rewards you. And so I think there's a real temptation. So I think I have to remind myself constantly, you know, like, so I'm a writer. I can remember one Christmas I was sitting reading A Christmas Carol by John Dickens Charles Dickens. I don't know who John Dickens is. Oh, yeah, he's a real reader.
No, he wrote Dickens. The Easter Carol. Oh,
there
it's
you
okay.
go,
the
you Easter
were just
Carol.
Mixing them up.
So Charles Dickens. And but I was reading it, and I printed it off the internet because it was this, you could see it handwritten. And I read the whole thing, and I can remember afterwards praying to God and saying, just this spontaneous prayer, like, dear God, would you allow me to write something that could be read 150 years after I've written it?
Wow.
And before, and I didn't hear God speak, but it was clear. And he said, you already have. Not in those words, but I've written it on my children.
Wow.
And 150 years from now, my great-great-grandchildren will still be sharing the message of my life somehow. You know, it'll be the way I go to McDonald's or whatever.
Oh,
you know?
Todd, that's so powerful.
And that is, and I knew when he said, I knew what he meant. But again, the allure is to have a book that is a bestseller.
Yeah.
And it's on some list.
Yeah.
And, you know, Amazon top three.
Yeah.
But again, those don't even matter. Nobody even remembers.
Right.
And in fact, there's a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life.
Hmm.
I mean, I've never heard anybody ever speak on that.
Man, that is so counter our culture, especially with social media. Like, nobody wants to live a quiet life, Todd. Like, everything is live out loud. Right?
I know it. And we want lots of likes and we want lots of...
Oh, my goodness.
But I can't find it in the Bible anywhere else that he even talks about ambition except selfish ambition.
Right.
So here's this
which
one
comes from
place.
The devil.
Exactly.
By the way.
Yeah. And here's this one time where he says, "Okay, you want ambition? Here it is." And I think, you know, because again, I just even recently, we were around a lot of wealth and giant homes and amazing cars, and you know. You feel a little like George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life when you go get in your crummy old car and you kick it, the door shut.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you can really desire that stuff, and it's not there. It's just not there. So I think we need each other, and that's why I think dads. My message is so simple. I just keep pointing dads down the right way because we get lost. You know, and I said, okay, that's not where the good stuff is. It's over here. It's over here. And it really has to be often because we pull to the right or the left, whatever direction that is, the wrong direction.
Right.
And everybody's kind of applauding us down that wrong path, too.
I think it's helpful to have other dads encourage dads in this,
you know,
because I think sometimes, and this is actually the question I was going to ask, but I'm just kind of bouncing off what you just said. Is there a way for wives to encourage dads in this without it sounding like, you know, the constant drip?
Right.
Like, how do we not send our husbands to the rooftop, you know?
Right. You know, that's a great question. and so important because, you know, even because I know there are times where my wife will remind me of that truth.
Okay.
You know, and say, hey, this is what matters. Or I'll say something like, you know, I just feel discouraged because this guy has this and I don't have that. Yeah. And why aren't I there? And she'll remind me again of the truth. Like, again, that doesn't matter, Todd.
Mm.
Look at you've got these kids who all desperately want you. This is the stuff that matters. And it really realigns me.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels comforting to have her just say, they're there now.
Yeah,
it's all
yeah.
gonna be good.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to the dripping, like, you know, it really would be nice if you didn't have to work so much.
Mm.
You know, why don't you come home, you know, and you're wasting your life on the kids who, you know, that doesn't help.
Okay, that's good.
But as a wife, I would say, hey, whenever your husband does show some of that, like he does stay home and maybe misses something, I'll tell you, it goes a long way when a wife goes, you know, the way you were with your son, he lit up when you did that.
Yeah.
You did a great job.
Yeah.
And we respond to that.
The words of affirmation.
Exactly.
Right. And I don't know why. I think sometimes it's so difficult for us as wives to catch on to that quickly, right? We're we dwell in the land of subtlety, right? Like right. When we talk to one another. So like when women talk among themselves, it's the subtle eye thing. And the other woman picks up on it. It's like, oh, you don't want to go there.
Right.
Oh, it's like the unspoken spoken, right? So, oh, she was rude to you. And not a word said. And somehow we think over the years of our marriage that that is going to also translate, like for our husbands.
Right.
No. You know?
Yeah, and we really, and, you know, kind of changing the subject a little bit, but, you know, a lot of ladies will say, how do I get my husband to do this? And mm-hmm. I said, I will often say, well, you need to tell him.
Okay,
you just need to
straight
kind of,
out.
Just tell him
yeah.
in a non-confrontational time, not in the midst of it, but say, hey, you know, I really need, like my daughter said to her husband, you know, I really need to get you to get me flowers every once in a while. You know, and because I really like that. He would have never come up with it on his own. He would have failed her for his entire life if she had been waiting for that kind of thing.
So that's not offensive. It's not like, don't tell me. I'll get you flowers when I want to get you flowers. I know how to do it. I'm smart.
Yeah,
no,
it,
that's not
yes,
the...
it is still offensive. But do it anyway. Do it anyway. You know, and sometimes we bristle at it.
Yeah.
But I do like being told that. You know, and I think other guys do too. You know, again, not in the moment, not when you're at somebody's house and they have a thing of flowers. Then
yeah.
You go, oh, did you see what her husband got?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd never do that.
Yeah,
you
do know? Better, Steve.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
Tell us about some of the books that you've written and tell us where we can find some of your content.
Well, you can really find it. You can look on Amazon. You can come to our website at familymanweb.com or thesmilinghomeschooler.com. And, you know, we've written a lot of books for dads. Super simple books.
Mm-hmm.
Dad Power, which is just written for the busy dad who needs to be reminded again of the most important thing he's ever going to do. We've got some kind of devotional books for dads that are super, and I hate devotionals, honestly. because they're just, they like face me and meanness, you know?
Oh my goodness.
Daring me to fail,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I even hate to call them that. And I, you know, so they're just daily encouragement
okay.
in what matters again. And then lots of homeschooling books for moms to remind them that they're doing a great job. Because as far as homeschooling moms go, they all think they're failing. They all do. It just goes hand in hand.
It's insane.
I know it is insane.
It's like, it doesn't matter. Like, nonstop, sun up to sundown. I should say some moms, sun down to sundown, right?
Right,
like, you're
right,
going.
Right.
And then you get to the end of the day, head on the pillow, and you're like, oh, man. Why didn't I do that?
Exactly.
I should have done that. I'll do that tomorrow.
Right.
And you don't.
Right.
It's not going to happen, you know.
So you spend your whole life, really. You know, my wife almost cannot start a sentence without saying, I feel bad for.
Oh, like, my goodness.
And I so don't ever feel that.
So how do you help? Okay. I'm glad you got that last line out because that's really going to help. So how do you help your wife in that? Because I think what you're touching on here, a lot of wives feel, whether you're homeschooling or not, when you've got kids, you know, you feel like there's something you didn't do and you feel it deeply, it weighs on you. And the perception is that the husband, while present and living life in the same way, is, however, living it on a skateboard. You're like, what are you doing? Come back here. Like, how are you just, you know what I mean? Like, what is going on? How do you bridge that, the divide of perception, right? Because, you know, like I talk to my husband and he says, oh no, I see it, but
right,
I just don't
right.
I don't think that's as big a deal as you think it is.
We've seen worse. It's like they're not that bad, you know.
Yeah. How do you get there? And
yeah,
how does a wife understand that and feel safe and comforted by that?
That's another hard one.
Yeah,
because
isn't it?
It's so ingrained.
Yeah.
I do think because there will be times where I'll say to my wife, you know, honey, you're believing a lie. It's not the truth. And we'll talk about it and we leave and she still believes it because it is so ingrained. I don't know. I don't know an easy answer. But I know that you're training your kids behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you could take your daughters a little farther.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's good.
And maybe not playing some of those games that moms play, you know, because we do it, you know. Again, that's why I'm not a big fan of social media.
Yeah.
Because it's poison to moms' hearts.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and then we tell lies on Facebook and
Instagram.
Yeah. And we show only the good things. I was just telling the group I was speaking to yesterday, and they thought it was funny. I wasn't trying to be funny. But I said, hey, you know, the next thing is, next time something happens, the good happens in your house, don't post it. Because it's just discouraging to so many people.
Oh, that's good.
Every single time.
Yeah.
And but when you have a messy house and you go, oh, it was a terrible, terrible day today, you encourage others. Not because they like to see you miserable. They just like to know they're not alone.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of moms who feel that way. So for the dads, I think we do need to remind our wives of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I think Satan does go after moms. You know, that constant doubt. Even that for Eve, are you sure you're not ruining your kids?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're not disappointing everybody around you? Are you sure you're not wasting your time right now? And I think so. We need each other.
Todd, I think you may be able to start the lower expectation hashtag.
Like right, just, there you go.
You know, you post your dirty laundry that's piled up in three baskets
that.
And then hashtag lower expectations. Like we just are living life, you know. Okay, well, my final question here.
Okay.
All right. When we were in Michigan, now I want to say something. My husband is sort of like the silent, strong type, right? And one of the things that he said early on when his dad said, well, why do you want to marry Miki? He said, well, she makes me laugh.
Oh,
and
awesome.
His dad said, well, you got to give me more than that. Like, what else is there, you know? But it's a big deal because, I mean, he laughs when something is genuinely funny and he's very reserved. So even that, it's like, it takes a lot. We're in Michigan and we are at this church in Michigan. And Todd, you are standing up on the platform. And my husband was doubled over. And I'm watching him and I'm also laughing. And I'm going, oh my goodness, like this is gold, right? Because it's so hard for us to get him to just express in that way. But can I tell you what you were joking about?
Go ahead. Are you
ready? Here
I'm
it is.
Ready.
So we're in this huge, like, beautiful church facility, but they don't have any armrests on the chairs.
I remember that. It was weird. It was just an uncomfortable way to sit.
How you were able. But everyone, it's like it was the thing that we all knew, but no one knew that you could say that that's wrong. Like where, and you're like, did they just run out of money? Like what happened? You know? Anyway, I just want to say you're a blessing to the body of Christ.
Thank you.
So, okay, Todd, one more time. How can our listeners connect with you?
They can come to, I'm going to put my radio voice on now.
Please do it.
They can come to familymanweb.com or thesmilinghomeschooler.com. So there you go.
It's beautiful. When you resist those cultural trends that rival the truth, you remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing, God bless.